Please leave a message after the tone.
Chris, you ever redline your car?
No. I'm sure it's
exhilarating. It's such a rush, bro.
My mommy said I should drive safe.
Your mom doesn't let you redline your car?
She'll know.
You gotta redline it.
She's a car guy.
All right, she's a classic car guy. What kind of cars is she into?
What was the one in Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Ferrari. Well, that's what you do when you sell a car. What a gay little car. 250 GT California. How much do those go for? $100,000. Get out of here. Now, we're doing a return to classical elegance here. How did they, back in the day when they wore hats to take the train, how did they not adjust their balls 50 times a day?
It wasn't documented.
The ball adjusting wasn't documented. I've never seen on an old TV show a guy reach his hand into his pants to adjust his balls. Or sitting, just having them unbuttoned all the time. You don't see that on TV.
Yeah. When guys wear...
Oh, panties?
No, never mind.
When guys wear what?
It's going to sound gay when I say it. I don't want to say it.
Nothing could sound gayer than the books I've been reading lately. Guys, we got Vivek Ramaswamy, Woke Inc. We got Capital Punishment, How Wall Street is Using Your Money to Create a Country You Didn't Vote For, by the best-selling author of Woke Inc. right here. And we have Truths, The Future of America First. Luckily, this is written at a fourth grade reading level. So pretty much anybody can pick this up and start to rock. And then we have Nation of Victims, which is all about how you and I, because we had sleepovers and fun childhoods and our moms didn't make us play violin, how we should be replaced by Indians. That's the last chapter this book is about. But some of this stuff is pretty spicy, man. Let me open this up here. Right here, yeah. I'll never forget when I was in middle school. I can't even read that on camera. It was when I turned 33 that I realized I was addicted to making men gay like B. Diddy. I'm not going to spoil it for you guys, but this Vivek, these books, this is some, and actually, no joke, I looked, the first word I saw is homosexuality, so it's not that far off here. Oh, that's a harsh allegation. For example, there's no such thing as a gay gene. Yeah, hell yeah. So I was told that if I wanted to have Vivek Ramaswamy on the show, I would have to read all four of his books because he didn't want to have a remedial conversation. So that's why I have these. It's because we got to get Vivek on the show.
Is that from Vivek?
That was from Vivek, yeah. Any page you open this up to, I promise you it's going to be just glop. Random page, 142 of Truths. I have my doubts about whether Ann Coulter is actually, that's in italics, more ready to vote for the great-grandson of a Jamaican immigrant than she is for the grandson of an Anglo-Saxon British lord. This is what people care about? This is what you're supposed to care about? You know what? The thing is, I could sit here with my highlighter and my notepad, and I could have ChatGPT read these things and summarize them for me, which is what I would do. I could go through these and have, you know, my little legal pad where I'm typing up my debate notes. How about this, though? You're Indian. Let's get this show on the road.
I'm going to talk to you about your country. Please. Oh. Got water on the vintage video gear. Whoops.
It's already floating down the stream. Chris, can you get me a bucket?
It's already dripping everywhere, Chris. Emergency.
There we go. Hey, guys. Welcome to the Sam Hyde Show. Vivek Ramaswamy is a first-generation American entrepreneur, investor, New York Times best-selling author. He's the founder of multi-billion-dollar enterprises, including Roivant Sciences. That's the one with the fake medicine, right? Roivant Sciences. This guy, like Elizabeth Theranos. This is so woke right of me. Hold on a second. Perfect. Chris, could you go give this to a young kid that's struggling to get ahead in business?
Thank you.
So we're learning about show production right now. Step one, when you're surrounded by video stuff, you want to keep it liquid cooled, okay? We do liquid cooling, keep this stuff soaking wet so that it can buzz and vibrate behind your head when you're trying to think. Perfect. Folks, we had you call in. You guys rang my number. You banged my line, 1-800-1444-1434. Call Sam. Amazing stuff. Quality voicemails were left. If you call, we're going to use it on the show. So don't dox yourself. Don't say anything that you don't want other people hearing. It's not my private line, okay? That's 1-3-1-4-3-4. Call Sammy is how you get that one. There's an extra few digits in there. It's nuts. S-A-M-I. C-A-L-S-A-M-I.
Hi, Sam. Right now, my family is going through a pretty big upheaval. Our new landlords at our shop are Arab, and they're kicking us out to put up a chop shop vinyl car wrapping business. We're being forced to move by March. I don't know what to do. There's not really an amount of working harder that can help the simple fact that another person is taking away from our lives. I'm doing the best that I can to help my dad and continue this business on. It was always my dream to work for you, but now it's my dream to continue my dad's business because I love him a lot. As time has gone by, I've realized that being an American means doing what you owe your family and helping them. I don't know if you'd agree with that, but that's how I think. Thanks.
You don't want to work for me. I only pay in Nigerian crypto, okay? I only pay in Nigerian crypto. The flip side of that coin, it's called gold coin. It's backed by gold. If you are fortunate enough to have family that you can link up with, team up with, and build a business, that's probably one of the best things going right now or ever. It's low friction. You don't have to have contracts. You know that the person, their genetic destiny is tied to yours. They want you to succeed. Hopefully, unless you have some schizo brother or something who's always raping people. You got a brother like that, Chris?
Raper?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
I guess I've heard horror stories from people who have family members from hell. I guess this is a case-by-case thing. But yeah, if you have a family member that's got their stuff together, especially if it's your father who can show you the ropes like I show Chris, show him the ropes. That's when it's time to work out with Chris. I show him the ropes. He never does it. He hates it. But yeah, man, team up. And it is time to hunker down, though. And I'm going to couch this in certain language. The best known procedural who? This is a whole chapter here. Members of the public, the framers of the Constitution, believed that the lawmakers, Democratic, and Arabs get out. Okay? It's time to hunker down. This generation coming up, you guys, the jig is up. The whole thing that they use to lull my generation and older to sleep, this racial guilt stuff, like you owe somebody something for being white, that's over and done with. Nobody serious believes that anymore, and anybody that tells you anything like that is trying to get money out of you. They're trying to get their hand up your ass. The idea that the founders of this country, the people who built this country, built it because they wanted some Arab guy to have a vinyl wrap shop, fuck all that. There's not much you can do about that in the short term, but it's important the attitude that you take towards it. So yeah, it's time to hunker down. It's time to start gathering your acorns. If you have a father that you can build a business with or take over the family business, then put the gas pedal down and do it.
What do you think can be done about the problematic corporate gamification of the system, not just the economic system, also, you know, parts of the legal system, if the people who are, I guess, noticing it and wanting to do it in large numbers generally don't have access to the quote-unquote change from within, you know, and what would the change from outside look like? What would those steps kind of look like? It's a good thing to think about, and that's what my mind's on.
I don't know, get involved locally maybe. Try to become a judge. We need more white people being judges. Not to black pill, but it is, it's gonna get worse and worse. It's gonna look more and more like Brazil. And you have to take care of yourself and your family and whoever's close to you. Whatever your like tribal circle is, shrink that down appropriately and take care of those people and stack Bitcoin.
Hey, over 3 years sober from pills that I got jacked up on from being in the military and had to get surgery. Got sober, got my life back, married, having a baby on the way. I'm just really nervous that there's no fucking future. I'm an idiot and never saved money, and now I'm starting to, but I just don't see how this pans out. How do you restart at age 31? I have a good job now, but not like retiring kind of job. I don't want to work until I'm fucking 80, but I want to give my kid the best life possible. What do we do?
You sound like a nerd, bro. You were way cooler when you were on those pills. You were way more chill when you were on pills. Is that Jamie or Jesse? Yo, remember when Jesse was always around? He was on pills. He was just like mad chill. That was the version of Jesse that I wanted to see, not this guy. Family man, what is this? I don't have a job and I need money. What are you talking about, bro? Listen to rap music. Who's that rapper that I like, Krayshawn? Bitch, you work at Arby's.
Yeah, it's Krayshawn.
Okay. What did she have that one song like 10 years ago? Pussy made by Gucci. That's how good her pussy is. It's made by Gucci. Is that true? 31 is young, so I wouldn't stress out too much about this. You've got time ahead of you, and if you're 31 and you already have a good job and you're already starting to save money, that puts you ahead of the game. And I would just say, try to be less neurotic and don't worry about it too much. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. You overcame an opioid addiction, right? What pills did he get hooked on in the military? Super combat pills? He was just addicted to being a super deadly soldier. Like Jocko. I'm addicted to super deadly combat pills. Did you see the coach today? He had Jocko Mulk. Yo, I wanted to be like, I can't work out if I'm looking at that. You gotta take that out of here. Overcame a drug addiction. You're married, you have a baby on the way, you're saving money, you're 31, that's young, you have a good job at 31. Don't be nervous about the future. You're overthinking it, stop overthinking it. You're ahead of the game. If you have a woman that's not a bitch, and you're lucky enough to have children in your life, you're probably good to go, man. It's not a retirement kind of job. What is a retirement kind of job? Who has a retirement kind of job? Who's planning for retirement? You're 31. What are you, fucking little old lady? Why are you even worrying about retirement? Should I be pushing people to save their money in Bitcoin every chance? You just can't store your money in the US dollar. That's the only thing. If you're saving money, you have to find some alternative vessel for your wealth. What most people do is mutual funds or real estate or something like that, but you can't save US dollars because they're always worth less tomorrow than they are today. What about selling drugs? You were in the military. You have access to super combat pills and ultra back pain memory blasters. You probably have access to some of the best pills in the nation.
Hey, Sam. One thing I hoped for with Elon was that the one thing he could provide was free speech. I thought to myself, oh, maybe we don't have to worry about who we like what comedians we listen to, what we follow online. But even now, I'm using fucking Star 67 to call because I fear that repercussions are just around every corner. We're just fucking locked in to this idea of you can't like this, you can't follow this comedian, or there's repercussions financially. It feels like we're all just locked down and we have to believe, you know, what's acceptable. I don't even see where the free speech is coming in. For Elon to do a 180 and be like, oh, actually all Americans are stupid, and I think I'll ban a huge swath of them who believes a certain thing, it's fucking disheartening. But thanks for making the video.
History is, it undulates, right? Chris, you learned this in history class. It's cyclical. There's never homeostasis. That's a pleasing thing to achieve, is when there's a system that's set up and it just works properly. But that's not anything. That's not the human body. That's not your car. There's nothing like that. Everything is a constant battle between order and entropy. Free speech is the same thing. It's the same thing. There's always been a list of things that you can't say, and there's always been a group of people trying to tell you who you can't talk about. Nigerians. I forgot which people. You can't talk about. I think it was Nigerians. The battle is never over. The attitude of the people in the battle is what's important. There will never be a perfect state. And there will never be a perfect set of conditions where everybody's got free speech and there's no longer this constant 24/7 battle for resources and attention and the power to change people's opinions, et cetera, et cetera. It's always going to be a battle. The thing that you have the most direct control over is your attitude as a participant in this battle, which you are no matter what. It's going to find you. What's the, do you believe in Jewish? Well, you're in one. Yeah, no, the battle is going to find you, and maybe the most important thing to control anyway is your attitude. You should not be black-pilled because humanity and our people have faced much worse. We're not made of such weak stuff that if somebody spurgs out and messes with a computer program, all of a sudden it's doom and gloom forever. That's not the case, man. None of the problems that we face are problems that were created by one person in a short period of time. They were created by a cabal of people over 100 plus years. Whatever fixes that, it's not going to be an easy fix. It's not going to be an overnight. It's not going to be thanks to a president or thanks to a CEO. It's only going to be thanks to the continued efforts of everybody.
Yo, what's up, Sam? I got a doctorate in chemistry, and there were Indians all up in my research group. They used their networks to hire each other, and white people like me were fucking boned. I asked them, you know, hey, any jobs opening up at Intel? Any jobs opening up at these semiconductor companies? And they said, no. And then they told their other Indian friends who are still at the department about these jobs, and they just hired themselves. Fucking sucks. Anyway, I ended up working for America and joining the military, and there are no Indians in sight. Nothing but Americans. It is the golden pastures, the green land. Thank you for your video. Kicks ass.
Don't run off and join the military if you get so disheartened with this country, the way things are going. I don't think that's a good idea. I think I've talked to way more people who got fucked over somehow by being in the military than people who were in the military and had a great experience. And the military doesn't care about you. The country doesn't care about you. The people running the country and the military don't care about you. If you join the military, you're essentially just signing away your life to become a tool for you know what. And it's probably a bad idea, even though those guys are cool and I do like talking to them. They are funny. They probably have senses of humor that are up there with construction workers and cops. They're very funny people, and I can understand why there's a sense of camaraderie and fraternity, etc., but I think it's a really bad idea, and you probably shouldn't do it. I'm not talking about you, because you already did it, but just people in general. It also doesn't fix anything. The smorgasbord of issues that we face right now, none of that is solved by getting in a APC and going shooting a guy. That doesn't fit. The guys that need to be shot, they're not over there, they're over here. I don't think you should sign your sovereignty over to the U.S. military just yet. I understand how if you're you know, working at D'Angelo's, all of a sudden someone handing you a gun and you're surrounded by cool guys with good sense of humor and they're the same race as you, how that could feel heartening or like you're a part of something important, but I don't think so. I think that's just the trick they use to get people like you killed since forever. And yeah, as far as the Intel thing goes, we're living in a gay, racial nepotism kleptocracy. The incentives are so out of whack that really my best recommendation for you would be look for ways to steal. You gotta just figure out how to steal, bro. File a sexual harassment lawsuit, I don't know. They're gonna be paying a lot of lip service to fairness and meritocracy as they replace people like you with Indians over the next 10 years. And just remember, as they do that, you should steal and file sexual harassment lawsuits. It's not a nice thing. It's not nice to encourage people to steal. That's not how society should work. You don't believe in low-trust societies? Too bad you're in one. There's no route towards restoring a high-trust society in America, in my opinion. If there is, that's good. That's a great thing. That would be wonderful. I would love that. That would be amazing. Once a company has been infiltrated by DEI types and by Indians. Indians are up there with the most racially nepotistic people. They only have one, the competition is slim up there. I think you know, if I say it in German, is that code? They're not gonna know. They're up there with the most racially nepotistic people. And if the company's been taken over by those types, it's time to start stealing and doing whatever you gotta do to dismantle the company from within. quiet quitting, whatever nasty tactic. Use ChatGPT. What sort of nasty tactics can I use to fuck with my employer over a 5-year period? Make it artful. Be artful about it. Figure out a way to take some money on your way out.
Sam, motherfucking Hyde, let's go, baby. I'm a young white dude. Shit fucking sucks for me. More than half the world wants me fucking dead and gay. I just watched Dear Elon. You gave me a surge, dude. I really fucking needed. I've been in a slump, and I feel like goddamn the whole country is. When you said that thing about where you can barely afford to get fucking Domino's, dude, I work my fucking ass off, and it's like, I got nothing. I've actually just accepted the idea that I'm a fucking cog. I'm just a NPC, and I just do the shit I gotta do, and it's fucking miserable, bro. For someone to speak out with a platform like yours, dude, is fucking awesome. We need to have the immigration policy of Israel for fucking Japan. Appreciate you, bro.
Japan is not long for this world. They're gonna start fucking with Japan. Mark my words. That will be very interesting to see how that plays out, and I pray for the people of Japan. I pray that they will be able to weather the storm, but that's going to be pretty interesting to see if the Japanese imperialistic kamikaze fighting spirit has truly been suppressed by anime kittens and nuclear weapons. Has it truly been erased from their sacre bleu, to quote Asmongold, of a people? Has it really been wiped out, or has it been laying dormant? Are we going to see Japanese with rifles again? I don't know. Are we going to see Japanese, I don't know, torturing a few people, trying to boil them, boil a Chinese guy? Who knows? Because I know that the first black man in Japan was met with bows and handshakes and, oh, yes, sir, you're very good. Oh, very interesting, a black skin. But that might not be the case for the last black man in Japan who might be on his way out after being boiled, Unit 731 style. I don't know enough about Japan to know what the people are capable of. It's going to be interesting, and I will pray for them. This guy, you swear too much. Don't swear so much. It's not necessary. He said Lauren Southern's trying to kill him? Is that what he said? Yeah. Yeah, well, we couldn't be beaten any other way. That's the only way to beat us, is make us gay and dead. It's normal for young guys not to have money. When you're young, you're basically trying to figure out what the game is and what your role in it is. If you're young, it doesn't necessarily matter that you're broke. It's not the end of the world. It's everybody who's young is broke. That's just normal. When people swear, I get the vibes of like a person that works at a post office or a sub shop or something. The type of blue collar people that don't make money. So not trades workers, but just like people that work in a fucking store. I think they swear all the time. Like if you work at Target, if you're stocking shelves at Target, you just swear all the time in your head. And that's why if you don't like swearing, there's like a Redditor type pushback you get from people who their morality is like everything's okay as long as no one's being physically hurt in the moment type thing. I'm not doing a good job of grabbing these ideas here, but like, so what do you mean I heckin' couldn't fucking swear? At least I'm a fucking heckin' good person. Yeah, don't swear. I think it reads too much like you're hopeless. It's not good. Another thing is when you are young, your low skill level and your low awareness, you just generally have lower agency. You're not really valuable enough to anybody to be more than a cog or more than an NPC. So that's another thing that can compound that feeling of the walls closing in around you, is because that's the fight of your 20s, or from 25 to your early 30s, is making your time more valuable, making your time valuable enough that you don't have to take low pay, you don't have to take shit from people, you don't have to accept people that are rude to you or whatever, because your skills are sought after. You can demand more from your environment, basically, because you're good at something. You look for reasons not to fire somebody who's really good at something. You look for reasons not to fire somebody that's making you money or is solving problems that you don't like dealing with. You look for reasons to keep them happy in their job. And if they're not bringing money to the table or helping you out or solving problems, then it doesn't matter. You don't really care what they're life is like. Because what the fuck, what are you even doing here? You get paid $8 an hour to be a human toilet. Or you put the cheese on this pizza, you dummy. A lot of problems can be solved by getting good at something, making your time worth more money.
Yo, what up, Sammy? I'm cooking dinner for my children right now. What's on my mind is my present to my children. They want to see snow. I live in Florida. I'm renting a truck and driving all the way up so these kids can see snow. I took days off of work for this, and I'm not looking good, man. I can't even give my kids the one thing they ask me. Maybe it's a big ask, but I don't think so. What happened to the time in America where taking a vacation didn't literally fuck you? It fucks you, dude. You take a vacation and you're like, all right, I gotta be eating ramen for the next 2 months because I took my kids on fucking vacation. I have a mortgage. I have two children. I don't have a great job.
What children really need is they need to be loved, which is not a, that's not a financial thing. They don't need to financially be loved. Okay, there are plenty of people who grew up poor and had a happy enough childhood because their parents were present, okay? Love and financials have nothing to do with each other. They're really not related. The other thing they need is to not be abused. Part of not being abused is not being in a public school surrounded by the Catholic Church gets so much, that's like every, not so much now, I mean, but in the 90s and 2000s, every stand-up comedian was like, oh, you're Catholic? That's good, the child molestation. To whatever degree that that's true, it's way worse in synagogues and fucking public schools. I think public schools have a 10x higher rate of child abuse than Catholic Church. So if you're going to be scared of something, you should be scared of public schools. What you need to provide for your children is protection from pharmaceuticals, protection from rapists and bullies, and love, which is not a monetary thing. You just be a normal human being that's not a fucking freak, I guess. There's probably a book about it. I don't know how to teach you to not be a freak, but it's probably essential that you start learning how to do that. Stefan Molyneux has talked a lot about peaceful parenting, not hitting your children. I didn't know people hit their children until I started meeting like regular glop people. Like people that look like some fucking cigarette lady. She looks like she should be compressed in a barrel into oil to lubricate train parts. That's probably the most valuable use of this human biomass I'm looking at right here, asking me for a light. You should be lubricating a train as human goo, you fucking freak. But those people like that have been had the shit beat out of them as children. This is probably a major reason why the world is this like throbbing, chaotic, violent organism from hell at times and in certain locations. That's one of my big regrets is I was at a Home Depot and there was a black guy and he was talking to his kid and he goes, am I gonna have to put hands on you? This was before I was started lifting weights or boxing or anything, but I really wish I had given that guy a talking to. But I think this is probably a big reason why the world can at times appear to be so schizophrenic and cancerous. But yeah, all you have to do to be a good parent is protect your kids from that type of shit. I think that going overboard with the violin lessons and tutoring, what are you tutoring, nigga? Vivek, black
Vivek.
First of all the jobs that the Indians are coming here for, aren't they going to be done by AI anyway? Huh? I thought computers were so smart they could learn to code by now. Huh? That's weird. Why are we bringing in more software engineers when writing software is one of the low-hanging fruits of LLMs that's actually going to be here in 5 years? Easy. Why do you need 400,000 brownies? Why do you need all those brownies? What are you even preparing your kids for anyway? You're just some shithead. What do you know about what life's gonna be like in 30 fucking years? My child is going to be a doctor. What if doctor is completely automated away and becomes like a customer service role in 30 years? The AI can diagnose medical conditions better than humans can. How long is it going to be until the role of doctor is downgraded to basically customer service, till you're the human face in the office, making sure the machine doesn't fuck up and you're getting paid one-third of what you were making? We're talking about preparing your child for the future, giving them the best life possible. What school on the face of the planet has taught students how to preserve wealth and how to make money, which is day trading and gambling? What university program does that? Well, the people that are getting pumped out of the schools, the best schools are leaving with $500,000 of debt. They're unhirable. They're being replaced by towel heads anyway. So what are you preparing your, what are you preparing your kids for? My son Benjamin's going to be going to a private school where he will learn how to do math. Like you would fucking know what's going to be worth money in 40 years, shithead. Like you would know. The way you probably prepare your kid for the future is by teaching them how to be a streamer or whatever, fitness influencer. You would literally probably be better prepared for the future if you are a fucking fitness influencer than whatever boneheaded thing you think you're going to send your kid to college for. You go up to see snow and you don't see any, and your kids are disappointed, and hopefully 20 years later, what they remember is something like, my dad, who cooks for us, loved us so much, he drove us up to see snow, and we didn't see any, but it was crazy. It was a really fun weekend. We saw a lot of stuff, and that's a good outcome. The bad outcome would be, this is like a knife sticking out of people's heads, and I'm not saying this guy's like this, but I know if you're complaining, there's a chance you're like this. When you're not resilient and you're outcome dependent, you're attached on good outcomes, you need a good outcome to feel good. This is different from the Teletubby people who are liars and fags anyway, and they're like, oh, guess we didn't get to see any snow. Oh well, it's just as good. That's bullshit. And that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is when you don't get a birthday present or whatever, it doesn't psychologically shatter you. If you go drive up to see snow and you don't see snow and your kids are in the back seat and at some point you're driving and you're like, I can't fucking believe we didn't see any snow. Drove all this way, we had to eat ramen. Fuck! That's gonna ensure that your kids have the same knife in their head that makes them retarded. Attitude is everything, bro. You have to have an all-terrain personality. You have to be ready for whatever comes, because there's bad stuff coming. That's a lot of it, actually. There's actually a lot of bad stuff coming. So you need to be ready for it. It sounds like you're a good dad. You're cooking dinner for your kids. Just don't let them see you get rattled by little inconveniences like this, because, you know, there's a lot worse shit coming down the line. If you're in Florida, the Tony Montana mansion is located in Miami. It reportedly has a large pile of snow on the main office desk. The other thing is, like, the people that flip out all the time, you don't remember them as being impressive or powerful or anything like that. You just remember them as being weak and, like, disrupted by anything that happens. Oh, great. I didn't get my birthday present again? I asked for since June.
No, dude, I'm 36. I do manual labor. My back hurts. My knees pop. The thing about money, man, it's about taking care of your community, man. You got to keep your world small. Less than 100 people, you know. Anything outside of that is where all these eggheads and all these people who get paid to think and don't think very well, it's where they get it confused.
That's pretty solid. If you go the manual labor route, which is certainly not a bad route to go, I think there's a lot of money to be made doing the manual labor stuff. You have to protect your body. You cannot be blowing your knees and your back out at 36. You got to just figure out how to move good. Don't cheap out on footwear. For the love of God, don't cheap out on footwear. Don't wear lumbar braces and knee braces, but you should be probably weightlifting, actually, honestly, to protect yourself, to build muscle around the joints that are problematic. Don't jump from 4 feet out of an excavator, because you can. Don't do that. Look at the way old guys move on construction sites and just move like that.
I'm from Longview, Texas, and after this whole H-1B situation, I decided to look up my city
And I discovered that despite having a lot of qualified people, we've got a huge nationally acclaimed university in town. They just can't seem to find any software engineers, which is ridiculous. I'm maybe the only local in the entire area who's a software engineer who's been employed as one. And I got a lot of the people who graduated alongside me a couple of years back who can't feed their families. So what I'm doing is I am emailing them. I'm calling these companies up and I'm emailing them. And I'm trying to get these resumes out, and I'm trying to convince them that they don't need to literally replace Texans with whoever from whatever country. I don't really know what else I'm supposed to be doing here. Hopefully y'all can think of something and then talk about it, because I really don't want to build a killdozer. I've got the capability, but I don't necessarily want to. It takes a lot of time. You know, I really would rather be doing other things. Peace from Texas.
Instead of a killdozer, start thinking electric, okay? Like Elon. Start thinking futuristic, electric, Tesla style. What's the Tesla version of a killdozer? Some sort of apparatus attached to an Indian man's head in my basement that turns into a potato chip. Think bigger. Think mega weapon. Okay, think Mad Max. Think Metal Gear. All right, how can you start using electricity and drones to create a mega weapon version of the killdozer? What would that look like to you? I think it would be pretty cool. It's looking pretty grim for software, man. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to do. I don't think emailing people and asking them nicely to stop hiring Indians is gonna help. If what I did was software right now, I would be worried. And I would be frantically trying to think of how to assemble some type of 5-year plan to like monetize my skills in a way that doesn't involve being a middle guy at a huge company.
Sam Hyde, my name is
Vivek Ramaswamy.
I've been in IT for over 25 years. I'm mid-tier, like tier 2, tier 3. People don't know this, but the H-1B visas have now flipped the script. Because of federal law, when East Indian companies bring over H-1B visas, they now have to make the approved rate for that position. So let's say a position is $35, $45 an hour. The East Indian recruiters that get the first dibs at these jobs will offer it to an American. They'll say, this job requires 8 to 10 years experience. I'll pay you $15 to $18 an hour. And then when the American says, I can't live off of that, I'm an engineer, like this is a $35, $45, $65 an hour job, they say, well, that's the rate we're going to offer in you. And as soon as they decline, they go and pull another H-1B visa and they get the $35, $45, $65 an hour wage. So it's no longer that H-1B visas are a slave class. They're basically dominating the IT world and they're not doing high-end jobs. They're literally doing every job in between. The nepotism is so crazy on this that the H-1B visa engineers will get their wives to work mid-tier jobs. And they don't know anything. And they basically screw everything up. And then we got to like tell them how to do everything step by step like a recipe. But they don't understand why they're doing what. And they get 100% of the wage. And they don't do any of the work. They end up just telling people, reboot your computer. And then they close out the ticket. How do I know that this is going on? When you work in IT, you have a lot of friends that are East Indians and things like that. And they tell me, we're trying to bring these people in and we got to offer the Americans one wage. And then we pay whatever the approved rate is for the people that they bring in.
Yeah, man. I'm still sort of flabbergasted over the Elon and the Vivek Twitter thing where they are proposing that this basically rape of America is somehow related to kids who practiced the piano more as children and didn't. The most fucking, the gayest part of the whole thing that Vivek did was he said we need more movies like Whiplash. Vivek suggested we need more movies like Whiplash. That's why the American dream failed, is because we don't abuse our children into becoming obsessive musicians. This is more plundering, pillaging. It's the rape of America continued. It's hitting the tech sector for the first time that's publicly visible, at least to me. I don't know. Is there any way to fight back? Could these software guys do a class action lawsuit Is the racial nepotism provable? Is the racism in the hiring process provable? I mean, what did Cognizant pay? They did prove that there was racism in the hiring process with Cognizant. We're watching our future slip away. It's hard to see a way forward that doesn't involve
voting.
Hey, Sam. I just quit and moved out of Microsoft after being there for 10 years. One time in the Redmond campus at Microsoft, I was there with my two friends at a Indian buffet, and I see these people come in, a whole family, and I was happy that they were there, good for them, whatever. And they start, like, scooping shit up with their hands, no utensils or anything like that, and I'm like, cultural difference or whatever. Looking back at it, both of those friends lost their job, and they were replaced by those type of people. I sound like a fucking racist asshole. I'm not trying to be. What I'm trying to say is, like, that's not America. I'm America. Those two friends were America. You were spot on, man. And I'm just a little irritated with what the fuck's going on.
I'm really looking forward to my debate with Vivek Ramaswamy, because part of what we're witnessing is the breakdown of reason, because rationality has been weaponized against normal people. And I don't just mean the GLBTQ or DEI stuff, in particular this American dream shit, this propositional nation stuff. This is the line that it's been for 70 years or more, is the America is a nation for anybody who wants to become an American. And once you accept that, once you accept that that's the case, the definition of what an American is, like, you're just constantly moving goalposts and changing definitions, and it doesn't matter. None of the definitions matter. Once you accept the core proposition that anybody can come here and just be here, it stops mattering what here is. So I'm really looking forward to my debate with Vivek Ramaswamy, because he will be able to see in person that all the words, all the rational arguments, and the paragraphs about what an American is, and the paragraphs about how anybody with a dream can do anything and become anything, he'll see in person that I don't care about what an Indian says. I'm not willing to have a discussion about the definition of what an American is. I'm not interested in hearing somebody else's proposal for what an American is. Everybody knows what an American is. If there's a degree or two of variation between Americans, what an American is, it doesn't matter. Anytime you try to argue in good faith with somebody who wants to steal from you, you try to argue in good faith with somebody who is not going to Iron Man your arguments, you're going to give them every intellectual consideration possible. They're going to give you none. Anytime you even open your mouth to do anything that's not derision, you're losing. You're accepting their proposition that what you know, the same way you know that the sky is blue, what an American is, when you accept that your knowledge of that can be affected by somebody's paragraph, you're already losing. So these people, when they come to you, when you see them, the only thing you should have to say to them is, hey, faggot, that's it. That's all you need to say. You don't need to say anything else. Within your community, within your Discord, within your friend group, whatever, you can have whatever discussion you want. But if it's an outsider who's here telling us how to do business, that's not in the game plan. That's not part of the show. That's not happening. All right? So I'm not saying you need to not think about these things and not talk about them with your friends, whatever. But when an outsider comes here, gets in your face, and starts throwing definitions at you, and you gotta Google shit? No, we're not doing that. You're getting called a slur. I don't know which one, whichever one I feel like saying at the moment. You're getting called a slur. Doesn't he wear shoes that are too big for him? Yo, oh man, that sucks, dude. Yo, Vivek told me that he would come on the show if I read all four of his books. That's a real thing, by the way. Like, that's if I'm, you can come on my show if you watch the iDubbbz documentary. It's just funny. For the guy that's about having good faith debate, the guy that's about an exchange of ideas, if that's what he's about, right? Telling me I have to do homework in order to talk to him. I have to sit through his fourth grade brainwashing here about how,
Vivek.
Good. Believe that. My next book,
Vivek,
are good, by J.K. Rowling.
think the world is a complicated place, but it's not all doom and gloom. Accepting that it is all doom and gloom only helps make it worse. Pretty fucking brainlit take, I guess, but even the little guy's got to keep his head up. There is no great man theory. It is a collection of many small people moving for greatness. That and Indians kind of stink.
That is indeed a brainlit take, and that is why it is good and true. Because at the bottom end of the spectrum, you have the people who are just as smart as the people at the top end of the spectrum. It is the case that every day, even some of the worst ones, are gifts. They are gifts. Every day is a gift from a creator who loves you and wants the best for you. When you get into the weeds and you start thinking, what do we do? What do we do? What's going to happen? It's easy to black pill because it is such a complicated problem. Everything is interdependent and constantly evolving, not to mention rigged, that a solution is hard to be seen. But in terms of your actual life, when you close Twitter and you go back to reality, you have people, you have the air outside, you have just being here, just being alive. Like, there's a whole world out there. There's a whole world out there, guys. And it is the one we have. It's the very best. It's unbelievable. It's filled with joy and opportunity. It's the best thing. It's the only thing. The only thing you have. Probably should all enjoy it to the max. Live it to the max, bro. Yeah. And yeah, Indian people do stink. Okay, we'll get this going. I gotta figure out this chair situation. This thing is not the one. I probably need an actual chaise lounge thing where I'm like laying down.